Amen, amen, amen. That was great. I love all the announcements. I love announcements because it's a busy body. It's a, you know, a busy body. It's a body that's busy. And, you know, and there's all sorts of things happening because this is the mission. This is the mission of God. We are a mission station to accomplish and to produce the very thing that God's heart is after from the beginning of time until the end. And from the Garden of Eden and our loss and our banishment from there to the restoration and our return. It's the mission station that everything Jesus wants to have happen on the earth happens through. Praise God. And all those announcements are all about all the ways that we can plug into that and be a part of that. And that's what the text is about today. So I'm going to read to you from Matthew, where we are in Matthew 10, after David gave us a wonderful message last week about all the different disciples. And I'm still thinking about Thaddeus, because I've not given Thaddeus his due. You know, we talk about a lot of the others, but Thaddeus deserves just as much attention as, you know, Peter, James, and John, right? And Andrew. And Matthew, and the others. ultimately, there's a little bit of echo here. I'm feeling a little bit loud today. That ultimately, what we want is we want our name in that list. Read the 12 disciples and say, oh, and then there was also Herman Creighton. Hey, here he is. There he is. Yeah, and then we get to know what was Herman like, and what did he do, and all of that sort of thing. But all of us in this room need to find our place on that list, and secondly, we need to find our place in the mission. We need to find our place in the list, and we need to find our place in the mission. And I want to talk about those two things today, as this text gives that to us. So let's look at right after the description of the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 5, and I'm going to read through this, and then we'll go back and look at what it is that's happening here. Well, first of all, before I do that, what's happening here is Jesus is giving instructions, and all the rest of chapter 10 are Jesus' instructions for this mission. Okay, so we'll look at that next week in for the rest of it, but today we're going to go through verse 15. And so, love the children, you guys. We love the children, Aaron. We do. It's part of who we are, man. Okay, so anyway, these are instructions that Jesus is bringing the 12 in to give to them. But listen, there is a, when he gives, just like I had an echo here this morning, when Jesus gives these instructions, there's an echo that goes 2,000 years into the future and lands here today. So this isn't simply what did Jesus say to his disciples. It's what is Jesus saying to his current disciples, and that's us connected through the Spirit 2,000 years, and here we are. All right. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Don't take a bag for the journey or an extra tunic. Don't take sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. And as you enter the home, give it your greeting. And if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. But if it is not, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth. It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So, gracious Lord, we ask you now to let these words that you spoke land 2,000 years later in Peoria, Illinois, in this mission station called Bradley Epworth, so that we will understand more clearly what it is you're after, and what our part is in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the contents of this mission instruction are these. First of all, he wants them to go to Israel first. Now, he's going to change this. We get to Matthew 28, and he's going to say, go to all the nations. So this is, but this, for this trip, for this initial mission outreach, he's saying, start with the sheep of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go to the other places. I want you to go directly to the lost sheep of Israel, for that is who I came for first. And as you go along, preach this message, okay? Here's our message, all right? The message of the mission is the kingdom of God is really close. It's drawing near. Now you say, well, every generation has been doing that for 2,000 years. Yes, because it always has been. There is a difference between chronos time and kairos time. Chronos time is what date is it going to happen? Okay? So when the farmer plants his field in the spring, right, and you ask him, on what date are you going to bring in the harvest? Well, I don't know. It depends on a lot of things, doesn't it? Depends on how much rain we get. It depends on how much drought we have. You know, I got an approximate idea, but I can't tell you exactly. Oh, I can tell you exactly. Okay, so chronos time would be, I can tell you exactly the date. Kairos time is, here's when I'm going to harvest, when the harvest is ready. When I see the kernels, they're in the right spot, they have the right dryness, and I'm thinking, okay, now's the time. That's kairos. Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is near, and it's hanging there in the air, and it's waiting to break through right now over us. But that's a day of judgment and the end of all things as we know them and initiation into all things as we will know them forever. And he says, go out and preach this message. There is a kingdom coming. And the kingdom of God for the Jewish people that they're sent out to has so many implications. It's what all of them have been longing for. It's what all of them have been praying for. It's what has been promised to them. David's going to return. He's going to have a kingdom, a Davidic king, an ancestor of David, a Davidic king, a prophet like Moses to lead you out. The kingdom of God is what you're all longing for. In fact, one Passover, I was with my neighbors he's the president of the synagogue here in Peoria, and we at the end of the Passover meal, he prayed this prayer, and God, may your messianic kingdom come. Just like Jesus prayed. Remember in the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed this morning? Let the messianic kingdom come to earth. I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? That in the Jewish community, 4,000 years, of longing to see this come. That's what they're going out to proclaim. It's coming near. The thing we've been longing for, the thing we've been waiting for. Jesus is saying, Tell them that the Moses that was to come is here. Tell them that David's ancestor is here. He's here. He's in a man. And then he says, demonstrate to them the kingdom of God. Proclaim the kingdom of God. This is our message. This is what's happening. This is what's happening in human history. And then demonstrate that by healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing those who have leprosy, and driving out demons. These are all the effects of the kingdom of God. These are all the blessings of the kingdom of God. These are all the things that will happen in the kingdom of God. But we can demonstrate them now, and we can show people, look, it's going to be like this. The kingdom's coming, the prophet like Moses, the Davidic ancestor, he's here, the Son of Man, he's on the ground, it's going to happen, and this is what it's going to look like. Let me show you. As a demonstration of what it is, and a confirmation that the message is true. That what we're saying is absolutely true. I can confirm it. So that's the mission as he says it. Now here we go on, we keep going with this, and it's, demonstrate the message that you've just proclaimed and operate under the principles of the kingdom that you're proclaiming, which is Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. And so all these things that you see in the sermon, we heard in the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see them in this mission that they're going out on. Freely you have received, so freely give. He's talking about what Jesus gave to them, give out to others. We see that in the Sermon on the Mount. You've received mercy, haven't you? Freely you've received mercy, give mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. You know, to see the exchange that's taking place. And so he's saying, go out there like this kind of person. Like, not just proclaim it, not just demonstrate it, but live it. Like, walk it out. So, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You're not going to have a house to stay in. You're not going to have a hotel to check in. You know, there's no KOA, you know, on the side of the road for you to camp at. It's like, you got to find a home, and God will provide it. You have to walk in faith. This mission isn't just proclaiming and demonstrating, it's walking it out in principle. That we are a people who have freely received, we will freely give. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So you're not going to have a house to stay in. You just have to go search for some worthy person. And don't take along any gold, silver, copper in your belts. No bag for the journey. No backpack, no cash, no credit cards, no Apple Pay, no phone. I know, right? We just checked out of the mission. It's like, must be somebody else he's calling. Not going to heaven without my phone. And he's saying, you know, leave all the stuff that you normally would have depended on, because doesn't God see the sparrows and take care of them? Right? So how much more will he care for you? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear? Don't you know that your Father in heaven knows these things? And so they have to walk this out. So he's saying to them, just don't proclaim it and demonstrate it. Walk it out. Live it out. Live it among them. Give freely. Give freely. If someone wants to hear, give to them. You received from me. Now hand out to people. Okay. And so he's, and whatever town or village you go for, search for a worthy person. Stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. Here's this. Be a peacemaker. Speak peace over it. Do you realize that you can, you know, this is another sermon right here, okay? So footnote this. You can actually speak a word and under the authority and presence of Jesus, and that word manifests itself. He says, speak peace over the home. And if the home won't receive it, it'll come back to you. That's something that's really awesome and really powerful and really beautiful that God gives to his followers, that we can speak peace and it will land. And so we can go into places and speak peace over them. Every store you go into, speak peace over it. Every place you are, every situation you come into, speak peace over it. Just speak your peace and let your peace land and let it be bless that place. But now he says that if anyone that will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet. Now this is not a sense of anger, or it's not a sense of anything. It's a prophetic demonstration of the finality of what's about to come. Because listen to what he says after that. I tell you, that he says this, you know, shake the dust off your feet, because I'm telling you the truth. It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah, which were the representation of those people, or those places that were so evil that God destroyed them. Okay, like just burned them up and destroyed them. He says it's more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. So the shaking the dust off your feet is saying that I don't even want the bottom of my sandals to have any of the dust. There's such a separation that God's going to do. There's such a separation. It's like the two things will not be together. Those who receive the message and those who reject the message will be as far away from each other as this dust in my sandals, and shake that off and move on. So the living out of the kingdom of God principles, in addition to the demonstration of the kingdom of God power, in addition to the message of the kingdom of God, is all about this, because the kingdom of God comes and there's judgment. And it's final. And this is serious. And what he's saying that you'll find a worthy person, which is somebody, if it's somebody who will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet. Then if a worthy person is someone who will welcome you and who will listen to your words. And that's what's called ripe fruit. And what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, go for the ripe fruit. He's giving them an urgency. Like, you have to keep moving. You have to keep moving. If they're not going to receive it, move on. And find the fruit that's ripe. You can spend your whole time trying to wrestle an unripe fruit off the branch. But a ripe fruit, all you have to do is barely touch it and it'll fall into your hand because it's ready. And what he's saying is, and this is an important understanding, that there are souls that are actually ready. They're ripe unto harvest. They are ripe unto harvest. So pray for the laborers of the harvest to go out and get them. Because if they don't, they'll fall and they'll drop and they'll rot. Meaning someone will die without ever having heard the thing that they were ripe to hear. And so he's instructing them to go after the ripe fruit. And if you don't see the ripe fruit, to keep moving. But the fields are ripe and it's time. The demonstration of separation that's imminent is also a demonstration of what Jesus taught at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount about the storms come, and when the storms come, and he's talking about a day of judgment as a storm coming, and you're either built on rock or you're built on sand. It's one or the other. Okay? And you're saying, well, it's not really quite sand. It's pretty sturdy. You know, it's pretty good dirt. Nope, it's rock or it's sand. Yeah, I know, but I'm close to the rock. It's rock or it's sand. Okay? Well, I've been thinking about giving my life to Jesus. Okay? You're outside of Jesus. Yeah, but I've been thinking about, yeah, but you're not there. You're either on the rock or you're on sinking sand. It's one or the other. It's final. And and he's pulling all of that from the Sermon on the Mount. He's pulling all of that in from his teachings, and he's putting it into this mission, and he's sending them out to proclaim it, demonstrate it, and live it. So there is the great mission, and the two things that I said at the beginning are that we have to find ourselves in this list, and we have to find our place in this mission. Whether or not we're on this list will be determined by whether or not we are, first of all, on the list that's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in the book of Revelation, it's clear when it says that in chapter 20, verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then in Luke 10, where Jesus got all worked up in the very much jumping joy that's called agaliao joy, he says to the 72, who he had another missions trip after the initial 12, he sends 72 people out. And when they come back, he says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So again, Jesus is emphasizing your name has to be written down. Revelation tells us why it needs to be written down, because if it's not, you will go into the lake of fire along with death and Hades. And that's the final judgment. And the only way into that, dear ones, right now, at this moment, is to submit yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is to die to self in order to be born in Christ. It is to receive and accept that everything that Jesus claimed is true. Everything he claimed about himself is true. And die to every resistance and open yourself to every submission to that truth, to that person as Lord, and receive him as the king of your heart and the Lord of your life. This is our way in. This is the entryway. We will not be in this list, and we will not be a part of the mission, and we will not even be in the Lamb's Book of Life unless we do that. So I'm going to stop right now, and I'm just going to ask God to bless us with just a moment of Holy Spirit presence to make sure that all of us have done that. And if you haven't, and you have some resistance to that, I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to show you why. Why am I resistant to this? What's going on in me, right? Just don't leave it. Don't leave here saying, yeah, I'm not there yet. Okay, but God's here, the Holy Spirit's here, and it would be well worth your time to simply ask him, what's going on in me? Holy Spirit, show me. So, Lord, we ask you to come into the room. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do what you do, and that is to reveal truth and be a counselor and come alongside of us. And we say to you, Lord, right now, yes, Lord, I am in. I am in. I proclaim you, Jesus Christ is Lord. You are risen from the dead. I receive you into my heart as my Savior. I ask you to receive me into your heavenly realm as your servant, as your disciple, your follower. I die to the life that I had in my mind, and I'm born in you in the life that you have in mind, with you in me. I don't trust my effort for salvation. I trust in your blood shed on the cross as the penalty for my sin, of which I repent, and I am sorry. Receive me, Lord, as I receive you. Now, Holy Spirit, if there's any resistance to that in anyone, I would ask you to just show them why. Just give them something, Lord. Show them that this is what's in the way. This is what is standing in the way. And help them to see, what then am I supposed to do with that? That nobody goes away from here without something of understanding from the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now, when we look at this list, dear ones, we look at this and we say, those were famous people. Their names are going to be over the gates, as David taught us last week. Their names are going to be over the gates. There's 12 gates, and each one's going to have one of these guys' names, and it's going to be, hey, there's my gate. That's where I like to hang out. You know, one that says, you know, Thomas. I'll go to the Thomas gate. That'll work. and yet, when we look at this, these people, they're fishermen, a tax collector. Well, he was probably pretty sharp. He might have been really good with stuff and numbers and finance. He had a lot of money and all of that sort of thing. But you know, this is, for the most part, these aren't the priests, these aren't the scribes, these aren't the Bible scholars, these aren't the religious leaders. These are common folks. They're us. They're you and me. They're just us. And it's like, these are the ones he chose. And so we got to get away from any kind of thing. It's like, well, I don't just think I could be that. I don't. Those are like different. No, there's no disciple chromosome. And you either have it or you don't, right? Like, oh, I've got the disciple chromosome, so sign me up. You don't, sorry. No, it's all of us, and we're all equal here, and it's just like, we get signed up. And if these lists were to keep going, the book of Acts was to keep being written, you would all be in it. The book of Acts, imagine, it's, you know, still being written. And they write it, and they say, yeah, and then somebody took the faith to somebody, and somebody brought it to the new world, and, you know, people had revivals, and so-and-so's ancestor, and Kelsey's great-great-great-great-grandfather shared it with the, you know, and on down until, boom, there's Kelsey, and that's her part of, you know, in the book of Acts, and she's the, and in the book of Acts, it says, and Kelsey stands up and does announcements every Sunday, we call her the proclaimer, and it's like, but all of us have a story that's, it's being written in the heavenlies, you know, and so much stuff is a part of who we are in Christ, and so we belong to this group that's continuing on in the mission. And the mission, you guys, is the most incredible mission in the universe that has ever taken place in all of time. It is the mission of God's heart in the reclamation of the fallen creation. It is the return to the original purpose of God to create a garden, a paradise of Eden, and to put people in it, to create beings to be in it, to enjoy his presence, and to enjoy it. And our joy brings him glory, and his glory brings us joy. And it's this upward spiral of blessing after blessing after blessing, because the more we enjoy God, the more he is glorified. My creatures enjoy me. My creatures find joy in me. My creation is, you know, able to come and all of that joy just glorifies him. And when we see his glory, we get rejoice. You know, it's going to be so amazing because all the things that we think bring joy are going to be smashed in comparison to when we see the glory, and we will be so filled with joy. Why is this making me so joyful to see God glorified? Because it's what we were created for. The purpose of the universe is taking place, and I'm looking at it right in front of my eyes, and perfect joy, completed perfect joy, not with anything missing, not the kind of joy that leaves us kind of, you know, empty in the end, or, you know, fades with time, or is only 90%. It's like, it's perfect, and it's complete, because it's his glory, it's what I created for, and All of this, the mission is bringing that back. The mission is the restored Eden. The mission is coming back to that place where everything comes. There's a new creation of a new heavens and a new earth, or a renewed heavens and a renewed earth, and everything's made new, and we're put there as created beings who now have sin broken off of us. Praise the living God. Sin removed. Can you imagine living life without sin, without comparisons, without pride, without all that junk that gets in the way? Oh my goodness, the freedom. This is our mission. This is the good news. We got to tell the world, do you know what's happening? Do you know what's there? Do you know what's right? It's hanging in the air above us, Jesus says. It's right here, you guys. Kairos time, man. When it comes, boom, it happens. And it's like, and he's like, go out and do that. Become a part of the mission. So we have to find ourselves not only in this list, but as a part of the mission. What's my part in this? If I can't find myself in this, if Bradley Epworth isn't a part of this, we're outside the mission. What are we doing? Right? And if I, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, can't find where's my place in this, then what am I doing? And we've got to find our place in that, and we've got to say, okay, well, I don't know what that looks like. Do I just walk out the door today? The church has left the building? Well, you know what? The church has left the building. It's awesome. It's a great idea. I love it. The worship, and then we're all getting together. But you know what? There still has to be a building to come back to. Because we send people out. And we keep gathering. Because the ones we send out, if anybody comes to Christ, they need a place where they can be nurtured and discipled, and they can be supported and encouraged. The building is so important to the church leaving the building. There has to be a building to leave and one to come back to and get restored and get discipled and get strengthened and then go out again and do it. And look, we leave this building, and I love the church has left the building people. And in fact, Glenn, you've played with them, haven't you, before? You've worshipped with them. And they're awesome, and it's a great idea. Because it brings people in different churches together for one reason, it's Jesus. And that's beautiful. But in addition to that, though, what I see the mission, when I see it at Bradley Epworth, like this is a mission station, okay? It's a Jesus community, right? I love this Jesus community. This is cool. As a mission station, we send people. Oh, yeah, you know those missionaries that came a couple weeks ago? Remember? You know, Alicia. I can't say her last name because it's an African last name. I can't pronounce it. But it was Alicia Wright before she got married. Anyway, she was talking about she's living in India, and it's like the headquarters for this Hindu worship that happens like every single day. Thousands of people come to the Ganges. And they worship in the morning, and they worship at night, and they're right in the middle of that, right? Proclaiming the kingdom, demonstrating the kingdom, and living the kingdom principles in the midst of people that Jesus wants to reach. Isn't that beautiful? Well, how do they get there if the buildings called churches don't support them? And how did they ever get that faith except through places that we're gathering as Christians to meet? So all of this is all worked together. So what they're doing, and we have so many people that are out there, right, Susie, out there as missionaries doing all sorts of amazing and wonderful work, and we're supporting them back here in the building, and they're going out and doing this stuff. So we become a part of the mission. Listen, Jesus Jesus makes it clear at the end of his instructions, and we'll get to that next week, but at the end of his instructions, he says, listen, whoever receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And listen to this. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these, my little ones, because he is my disciple. And he's talking about the 12 he's sending out. If anybody along the road gives so much as a cup of cold water, I tell you the truth, that person will not lose their reward. See, there's something happening here, you guys. It would be as if we said this morning, the person who is sitting at the welcome table, welcoming people, and something happens inside the church, and a profound worship service breaks out, and Glenn is lifted off the ground. He's fallen flat on his face. He's playing the guitar on his back, and everyone's fallen out in the place. That person shares everything that's going on in here in terms of how God sees what took place this morning. That we are all part of a team that is doing a mission, and if someone comes in here today and gives their life to Jesus, all of us share in that. We all share in that because we all play a part in it. You know, just to have a building or to have a parking lot, you guys, that took contributions. That took people taking money out of their pocket that they could have used for something else, sacrificially giving, and they've done that. We've done that. And so because we've done that, we can send these missionaries out. Because we've done that, we can fix the parking lot so that there's a parking lot for people to park in, to come to enjoy, you know, whatever it is. And then they come in the door and they see those men of God out there, see those guys out there. I love to poke fun at them, but the truth is, they're kind of like guardian angels out there. Now, I know you don't look at them and say, those look like angels, but you know, they're in the spiritually, yeah, go ahead and turn around and look at them and wave. Yeah, they haven't gotten this much attention in a while, so there you go. They are awesome men of God, you guys. They are truly awesome men of God, and they are in the spirit realm like guardian angels who sit there, and I can tell you honestly, they have intercepted more distractions, and they have done more without any of us knowing it for the sake of guarding what happens in here, and that means that they're on task. They are on mission, all right? They're on mission. And everybody who does whatever part they do to make this place receptive and a blessing to someone who might be new, a visitor, they're on task. You're on mission. This is what God wants. And whether that be a tech person doing the slides, right? So when someone comes in, what do they encounter? You know, in terms of worship, in terms of the word, in terms of the coffee, in terms of the welcome, you know, right? All of that. And who cleaned this place up? And who cleaned the bathrooms while we were all, you know, gone? And, you know, just, you get it, right? But all of us together are on mission, and all of us, but we have to remember, why do we do welcome? Why do we do coffee? Why do we do slides? Because the kingdom of God needs to be proclaimed in this room today. And it needs to be demonstrated. So that when a person comes in, not only do they hear what God is doing in his amazing reclamation project from Eden to the new creation, this amazing thing that God is doing. This is the story of the universe, you guys. There is no competing story. There aren't other stories. There is one story, and it's about a God who created a beautiful garden, and we sinned and lost it, and he is working to redeem it and restore us. And bring us back to that again. God's story ends with where it began, a garden, a beautiful creation, and his creator creations enjoying them, bringing him glory. It comes back to that. We have good news to tell the world. It's going to be so awesome. It's going to be so amazing. Joy is going to be complete. And so we serve coffee because of that. Okay? We serve, and we greet people when they come. We greet people when they come, right? Yes, 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 because we don't know. They might not know Jesus. And we don't want anything here to deflect from that or to distract from that, or right? We want it all to be conducive to that. And so not only do we serve coffee and have worship and have slides and have a welcome table and have all of these things, but we try to keep our children in an environment that is safe and secure, as well as teaching them the kingdom and demonstrating the kingdom amongst our children and living the kingdom before them, right? So if someone comes with children, they always say, oh, this is a place that I can trust. And not only just being friendly, but you guys, you know, the part of the mission is to walk out the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle, right? So it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to have good coffee and then snap at somebody when they come in the door or treat one another in dishonorable ways. You know, you can pick that up real quick, right? Yeah, but did you taste the coffee? Yeah, I know. I know I've got a foul attitude, but we got good coffee, so stick around. It's like, I don't think so. But, you know, I think that God wants a revival in his church today. I really do. I think he wants a revival in his church, and I think the content of that revival is not going to be what we think it's going to be, but it's going to be based on a revival of humility, and a revival of sacrificial love, and a revival of holiness. And I think that the other parts of it, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the demonstration of the kingdom, those things will all be there. But it will be encased by authentic Sermon on the Mount life. And people who walk in such humility that you sense it and you feel it. People who walk in holiness and you know what that means and you just honor holiness. Like there's going to be a renewal in the concept of holiness because we lost it. I think we've lost the concept of humility and holiness and sacrificial love, that they've lost their way in the mainframe of evangelical Christianity. But there's going to be a revival because God's not going to settle for that, and he's going to revive us in our hearts to embrace those things in such a way that it'll be so inviting. Months ago, I was sitting in here in the morning, and I was praying, and I think I told you guys this, but I just felt the Lord saying to me, prepare for guests. Prepare for guests. And it's like, okay, so I take this mission of going out. And God's saying, I'm actually going to hold your space. Don't give up your building yet. Hold your space. Get a good parking lot out there. Clean your bathrooms. put all your junk away. I used to throw it all in a big garbage bag when someone was coming over, and because I had four kids, right? And it was only me. And so it was like, throw everything in the garbage bag, throw it in the closet. I don't know if you guys ever do that. But if you did, I didn't notice, you know, when I came over to your house. But then someone goes the first thing to the closet and opens up. Oh, what's this? Don't go to the closet. And but God's saying, like, get your garbage bags out, throw your stuff in the bag. And I clean the place up just so there's nothing that would detract. You know, we were not supposed to be, you know, I don't think God's ever called Brad Leffer to be something, you know, super, you know, perfect or even perfect. Just we want to be real. Right? We just want to be authentic. But authenticity as a Christian means that we walk in humility and that we walk in holiness and that we walk in sacrificial love. And so he's calling us to that. And he's calling us to be that so that his presence can come in just purity. And the message can come in purity. The message can come out not damaged by hooking it to other things, but just the pure gospel message. And that the Holy Spirit, I remember somebody coming up one time and we were praying for people up in front. And sometimes, you know, we wrestle with that whole thing about, you know, praying in a spiritual language that the people can hear because of the text in 1 Corinthians and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, but if we're praying, that's different from proclaiming something. And we were praying for some people, and this young woman came up, and she had never been around that at all. She'd never heard that, and it was very foreign and, you know, strange to her. And she said, wow. Like, these people take this seriously. like this is like, but and it really struck her heart. Like, wow, this is crazy. And she stuck around, and she wanted to know more, and she started inquiring. And she said, what's going on? If you take it that seriously, there must be something to it. Isn't that beautiful? And she, yeah, and she gave her life to Jesus, and she became filled with the Holy Spirit, and she stayed as part of our community. I think that's what God's calling for, and I think that he's inviting us to be a part of the mission. Now, here's what I want to tell you. And that is that, you guys, there are a lot of things as human beings that we can get really invested in and excited about. Like, for example, justice. And you see people, right? It's justice, and we want to effect change for justice in the world. And that's the heart of God. If there was a sin in the Old Testament that was the biggest sin of all, it's social justice. And we might be like, I want to give my life to that. And it'd be worth giving your life to, right? And become a lawyer, and maybe you can affect it that way, or a judge, or a community developer, a social worker, whatever it could be. And sometimes we just think, I just want truth. And people will go and get PhDs in science or philosophy or something, because I just want to pursue truth, right? Or someone will get a degree in counseling, or someone will go into medicine, doctors, nurses, because they want to see healing. You guys, all the things that we want in our hearts, the things that human beings want and we want to invest in and give our lives to, they're right here. They're right here. They are here. Law is here. Justice is here. Counseling is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Everything that we would long for. Healing. We want to heal people. So we go into doctors and nurses and we could do that. And I love that. And we want to heal people. We want to relieve suffering, right? But there is a permanent justice. And there is a place where all injustices, you will receive perfect justice, but all injustices will be cared for and restored and made up for in your life. Wouldn't you want that for people? That's the message. That's the mission. The mission is to get permanent justice. The message is to get permanent healing. We'll demonstrate the kingdom of God with healing on this earth, but those people will still die. But there is a way that you don't. There is a way that doctors and nurses can stand back and just go, wow, and that heart can get filled. The heart that wants to see healing, the heart that wants to see justice, the heart that wants to see counseling, the heart that wants to see truth. Some people go into finance so that people can have security in their investments and their legacy. I'll tell you a way to get security in your investments and legacy that can't be stolen and can't rust, and it's forever. Listen, I want you to rethink, and I want you to think about this deeply. What is the level of my commitment to the mission station? It doesn't have to be this one. It doesn't have to be that one. But how much in each of our lives are we willing to say, I am given to the mission? I am given to the mission. I live first for the mission. I can't apologize for this because I think it's exactly what Jesus would be saying if he were here. He'd be saying, what level are we committed to the mission? The mission of bringing the news of the kingdom that's coming, that's beautiful, that you don't want to miss, that'll be so exciting and so wonderful and so beautiful. And I want to be everything I can be in order to bring that mission to bear in this place that I'm at. I want to see it happen. I want to see people come to that understanding. I want to see them know this is it, and I want to be a part of it with you together, seeing the glory of God and having the joy of God in our hearts. There is nothing worth more to invest in than the mission of Matthew 10 for the kingdom of God, to preach it, demonstrate it, and to live it in authenticity, so that the world can know the truth.